Our Old Testament reading is coming from the next portion of 2 Kings, which is chapter 19. You'll recall the context is that the northern kingdom has been taken captive by the kingdom of Assyria because of their idolatry and unbelief, their refusal to follow God. And now the king of Assyria has marched south, and he's at the doorstep of the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And we find this king of Judah at this time is Hezekiah. And we were told last week he was a good king. He eliminated much of the idolatry. And we'll see in this chapter that he truly sought after God and went to God as his deliverer. And so in the previous chapter, you'll recall the king of Assyria had sent his general or someone who would threaten Jerusalem and mock God and try to convince the people to give themselves up. And that news, the news of that engagement is coming now to King Hezekiah. Apparently he wasn't on the wall. He didn't hear the things that were said, but he's being told those things now in chapter 19. So hear now the word of God from 2 Kings 19. We'll read the entire chapter. And I'll pause a couple times here to clarify who is being addressed, because it can be a little confusing. It was as I read it. Hear now the word of God. As soon as King Hezekiah heard it, he tore his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and the senior priests, covered with sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz. They said to him, "Thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of distress, of rebuke, and of disgrace. Children have come to the point of birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God heard all the words of Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to mock the living God, and will rebuke the words that the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left." When the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, "Say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have rivaled me. Behold, I will put a spirit in him, so that he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will make him fall by the sword in his own land." The Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria fighting against Libna, for he heard that the king had left Lachish. Now the king heard concerning Tirhakah, king of Cush, "Behold, he has set out to fight against you." So he sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus shall you say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you by promising that Jerusalem will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands, devoting them to destruction. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, the nations that my fathers destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, the king of Hena, or the king of Iva?" Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they are destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the nations of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your prayer to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. And I'll pause here to explain that in this prophecy that Isaiah is giving as an answer to Hezekiah, the you in the first part of this is the king of Assyria, and the she is the kingdom of Judah, God's people. So bear that in mind as I read this, because the way it's stated, it can be a little, it can be confusing. It was confusing to me. So this is what Isaiah sent as the word of the Lord given to Hezekiah. She despises you. She scorns you, the daughter of Zion. She wags her head behind you, the daughter of Jerusalem. Whom have you mocked and reviled? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes to the heights? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers you have mocked the Lord, and you have said, With my many chariots I have gone up to the heights of the mountains, to the far recesses of Lebanon. I felled its tallest cedars, its choicest cypresses. I entered its farthest lodging place, its most fruitful forest. I dug wells and drank foreign waters, and I dried up with the sole of my foot all the streams of Egypt. Have you not heard that I determined it long ago? This is God speaking. I planned from days of old what now I bring to pass, that you shall turn fortified cities into heaps of ruin, while their inhabitants, shorn of strength, are dismayed and confounded, and have become like plants of the field and like the tender grass, like grass on housetops blighted before it is grown. But I know you're sitting down, and you're going out and coming in, and you're raging against me, because you have raged against me, and your complacency has come into my ears. I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth, and I will turn you back on the way by which you came. And this shall be the sign for you. Now he's, this is where, again, it was a little confusing to me. The you here is addressed to Hezekiah, I believe. What was just given is a prophecy concerning the king of Assyria and how he will be turned around and sent back to his own country. And now the sign to be given to Hezekiah. And this shall be the sign for you. This year, eat what grows of itself, and in the second year, what springs of the same. Then in the third year, sow and reap and plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield, or cast up a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return. And he shall not come into this city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, and for the sake of my servant David. And that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went home and lived at Nineveh. And as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, Adrammelech and Sharezer his sons struck him down with the sword and escaped into the land of Ararat. And Esarhaddon his son reigned in his place. And that ends the reading of God's word in 2 Kings this evening. And we have here a great answer to prayer. God hears the prayers of his people, especially in times of great crisis, and he answers according to his will for the good of his people and for his glory. And we have a great model here in the prayer that Hezekiah prays. It's a model that we can follow. What is it that Hezekiah brings up in his prayer? He confesses, and oftentimes we think the word confess in terms of confession of sin, but confession is also confessing the truth. We call the standards of our denomination the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's a statement of truth, something that we are agreeing with God concerning. When we confess our sin, we're agreeing with God that we're sinners and what we've done wrong. When we're confessing the truth, we're agreeing with God that what he has said in his word is true. And so that's what we find Hezekiah doing in his prayer. He praises God who is enthroned above the cherubim and has made heaven and earth and is way above us. He has to incline his ear. He has to stoop way down to hear us. But he will hear, because we are promised that he will. And Hezekiah finally gets around to the great burden that is on his heart, the terror of Assyria standing at his doorstep, mocking the true and living God and threatening to annihilate the Jews the same way they annihilated and carried off other powerful nations. All this bragging that the commander of the Assyrians was doing, those were not empty words. They really had done all those things, and that struck fear in the hearts of people who were not thinking of what God could do for them. And perhaps even here, it never entered into Hezekiah's mind that God in one night would kill 185,000 strong soldiers of the enemy. But that's what God did. He answered above and beyond what we can ask or think, as Paul says. And we praise him for such answers to prayer. And so God had promised David that there will continue to be a king on this throne. And until that time when the people utterly refused to follow God, he continued to bail them out and rescue them from these foreign threats. And we might ask, well, why were they being threatened at all? How was it that the king of Assyria could even get to their doorstep? Well, they had been unfaithful for years and years, decades, centuries in their idolatry. And they needed that discipline, just as we need the Lord's discipline as we are rebelling against him at times. We'll join now in a time of prayer, and I'm going to mention in my prayer a few matters. Larry Manaman has been ill and needs our prayers for recovery, so we'll be praying for him. Everyone's probably aware the Barnes moved into their new home, and that's a great matter of praise and thanksgiving, answers to prayer there, as we had prayed for them to find a home, and now they have one, and praising God that they were able to move. And so thanksgiving there. The McQuashes will be moving this week, and we can be praying that God would be gracious in helping them, that they would get the help they need, and that they would be successful in that move. And then I'll remind you of what was said this morning, that Pastor Barnes will be in Atlanta this week doing the work of the denomination in reviewing records of presbyteries, and we can pray for him in that work and that committee that he works on there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we see in this prayer you have recorded from centuries and centuries ago. You've preserved it for us to be able to read this evening, this prayer of Hezekiah. And we know he was not a perfect king. And yet we see much in this prayer that is a model for us. And we confess that we need a model. We need help in order to know the best way to approach you and to acknowledge your greatness and our great need. And so we thank you, Father, for inclining your ear. As Hezekiah prayed that you would incline your ear, we know even better than Hezekiah knew that you have done this and will continue to do it, because we see your demonstration in sparing not your own son, but giving him up for us all. In Jesus Christ, you have not only inclined your ear, you have poured out the greatest treasure of heaven for our benefit, the very Son of God. And so we pray to you with great expectation that you will hear. And you've broken down and eliminated those many barriers that stood between your people and yourself in the Old Covenant, giving us open access to you through Jesus Christ and calling us, imploring us to draw near. And how marvelous it is that you, the great, awesome, infinite, holy, powerful, almighty God, would care to hear from us and even be eager, it seems, to hear our praise, to receive our requests, and to grant our requests as far as they would be good for us to have. We thank you for such tenderness and compassion. You condescend, and that is not a negative thing, but it is a great positive thing when one who is truly high and mighty will incline himself, lower himself to speak with lowly ones like us. We thank you, Father, for such condescension, such mercy and grace as you have demonstrated in our Lord Jesus. Hezekiah knew of the promises of the Savior. He knew of the covenants given to his forefathers. But how much could he have possibly known of all that we have now seen in our Lord Jesus lifted up, bearing our sins and bringing reconciliation between God and his people? We praise you, Lord, that he has conquered our enemies in death and in sin and in hell. And the devil has no hold on us, has nothing he can hold over us, because it has all been erased and removed and paid for by the blood of Christ. Thank you, Father, for such gifts. We thank you for answers to prayer. And we have seen in the life of this congregation so many answers, so many requests made and answers given. We praise you for that. And we ask, Father, that you would be gracious to the McQuashes as they prepare to move this week. We have seen your mercies in helping the Barnes find a home and to move, and we pray expectantly and eagerly looking for your answers in regard to the McQuashes' move. Provide them the help they need and enable it to be successful, we pray. And we ask that you would grant help and healing and recovery to Larry Manaman and enable him to have his former strength and his vigor and the health of his body back. We beg you, Father, to grant this to your dear one and others in our congregation who have chronic medical issues. Father, you know each one and how long we have prayed for them. Grant relief, we pray, of these afflictions at the time of your appointment, and remove them, Father, when it is good for them to be removed. And until then, we pray that you would grant patience to your people and enable us to bear up under your afflicting hand. We're not being punished. We know that Christ has absorbed all of the punishment that we're due. And we're promised in your word that these afflictions are your indications of love for us as you discipline us. And so enable us, Father, to respond to you, these tokens of your love, though painful as they are, and bless us as you have promised. We pray your promises because we're confident that they are according to your will, and you will surely do what you have willed to do. Father, we pray for Pastor Barnes in his going to Atlanta and doing work with that committee to review presbytery records. We pray that their findings would be helpful and useful in the care and discipline and godly progress of each presbytery that they have to do with. And we thank you for this work that helps maintain the accountability of presbyteries to the denomination. We pray for the denomination that you would thwart those that would try to take us into thoughts and doctrines that are not in agreement with your word. We pray that these doctrines would be exposed as the lies of the devil and the distractions for your people that need to be called out and avoided. And we pray that you would preserve the truth of your word in this denomination and cause the preaching of your word to not be diminished or be shrinking, but to be going forward in great power and expansion. May we see the kingdom of our Lord Jesus expanded. We could see in this account of Hezekiah an expansion of your kingdom by the subtraction of 185,000 enemies of God. Father, we ask that you would expand your kingdom in our day by bringing into the kingdom all that you have elected, that you would cause the gospel to go forth to the ends of the earth as our Lord Jesus commanded, and it gave us every reason to expect, and grant that our Lord Jesus would return at that point when all of your elect have been brought to faith. If any are here, Father, who are still in their sins, still separated from our Lord Jesus by rebellion, unbelief, and opposition to Christ's claims on them, we pray that you would cause this to be their day of salvation and that the gospel would be heard and believed as your Holy Spirit would bring it to bear on each one. And for your people, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Grant that we would hear your word this evening as it is preached, and give your servant strength to do that preaching. What a heavy weight that is to bear. And we pray that you would grant him the physical and the emotional and the spiritual strength to bear it. Bring glory to yourself in our day as you glorified yourself in Hezekiah's day. And may our Lord Jesus Christ receive all that glory and no man. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.